You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning, Charlie. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing, Franklin?
Very good. Was it kind of nippy this morning when I went? It was minus 12.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little warmer by the time I got up. You get up way too early.
I'm so darn busy with some other shows and so forth that I'm waking up in the middle of the night and working on the shows in my sleep. You know,
oh, my
brother. Anyways, a ton of fun, ton of fun. And so here we are. A bright sunshiny day, blindingly
sunny. So take your sunglasses, and clean your windshield.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and if you got some shades, put them on as you're particularly if you're heading in the easterly direction. Huh? All right. Hey, let me get the phone numbers on the air.
Okay.
In Toronto, 416-360-0740 to reach Charlie, or anywhere in the province for that matter, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And just a quick hello to Jim there in Philadelphia who is hanging on the line. He must be dropping his own nickel on this thing. So we won't be too long getting to you, Jim, okay?
Yeah.
All right. What do you have for us as far as notes might be concerned, Charlie?
Well, you do. We love the announcements, right?
Yep.
So, announcement number one, coming up this week, it's not even this week, February 13th. So it's a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But nevertheless, the Burlington Hort Society will be having their monthly general meeting Wednesday, February 13th at 7:30 p.m. They meet at the Burlington Senior Center, which is 2285 New Street at Drury Lane in Burlington.
Mm-hmm.
There's an excellent movie called The Gardener being shown with popcorn. Now, that is an amazing, amazing movie. So if you can get to this event, do so. Social time's at 7 o'clock, and I guess the movie starts about 7:30. Everyone is welcome to come on down. Also, same day, February 13th, the Riverdale Hort Society. They meet at the Franklin Community Center on Logan, just south of the Danforth. Anna Leggett will be doing a presentation entitled Growing Shakespeare.
Really?
Yeah, and you're going, what? Well, apparently Shakespeare mentions 186 plants, flowers, trees, shrubs, herbs, and medicinal plants in his writings. So we can grow many of these and some or improved versions of them. So Anna will describe some of these plants with quotes from the plays, etc., and explain how we can grow them in the Toronto area.
Forsooth, dear lady.
Exactly. No, hold on, man. Think of something. I have no comeback.
Not quite how William Shakespeare would have written that little routine, but
probably
nonetheless.
Not. Just put on your calendar February, Saturday, February 23rd, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The annual Jump on Spring and CD Saturday is happening at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. That's an all day, 10 to 3 event, obviously open. Exhibitors, cool stuff for spring, get all jazzed up and excited for what's right around the corner. And a special guest is going to join us next week.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, Terry Kennedy. She has joined us by phone in the past. Last year, for the first time, she actually came into the studio. And she comes to give everybody a little bit of information and background on the upcoming Orchid Show.
Yeah.
So put that on your calendar for the weekend of February 9th and 10th. And again, that's at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. It is an amazing show. Smells great, looks great, really, really wild and wacky orchids.
All right.
It is photography there can be challenging because it's so crowded.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to do anything fancy with tripods, et cetera.
That's usually 2 hours before the show opens. You make arrangements.
Exactly.
Right?
Very limited group of people are allowed in on Sunday morning between 9 and 11 a.m. with tripods. Otherwise, You're getting jostled, and you can get your phone out, but that's as good as you
that's
can do
about
during
the
show. $12 to get in the door.
Okay, cheap.
No kidding. And I think Terry's going to bring some tickets with her next weekend, so we will have some giveaways.
All right.
So we have to come up with
make folks work for them. Though.
Challenging questions,
that's right.
Exactly.
Okay, all right, Charlie. Notes taken care of, and Jim down in Philadelphia is drumming his fingers on the table. Okay, you coming to me? Yes, right after these words, Jim. We're going to Philadelphia here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
So just before we go international, Charlie, let's get those phone numbers one more time. 416-360-0740, anywhere in the province of Ontario. Toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And a huge hello to Jim down there in Philadelphia. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you, Charlie?
Good morning. Good. Nice and warm in Philadelphia today?
Well, here, I'm just outside of Philly. We're at 26 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's cold. Ground frozen.
A little bit below zero.
But where are we at? Yeah. Where we are at.
Yeah. Okay. Right. No, we are the same growing zone.
Yeah, we are.
So that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
true.
But perfect time to talk, Charlie, about garden beetles, the three big ones, Mexican bean beetle, cucumber beetle, and flea beetle. What's a way to handle those three if it's independent? I don't know if you have some time tonight. You can just talk a little on those three big guys.
Honestly, beetles, Mexican bean beetle was one, cucumber beetle. What was the other one? Oh, flea beetle. Okay, so the bean beetle and the flea beetle, I am not familiar with. I don't think we have those.
Oh, wow.
Cucumber beetles, we do.
Okay.
And they are a huge problem because what they end up doing is they often are carrying viruses and things, and they take a few bites, and before you know it, your cucumbers die, not because of damage done by the beetles, but by other secondary infections that they bring with them. Best way, I mean, there's a couple of things we do to protect our plants from beetles, because beetles are hard. It's not like you can go out and spray them. They move too fast. They've got hard bodies, so it's even the sprays we use in Ontario that are legal in Ontario are things like soap and water or an oil-based spray, and you just can't chase the beetles fast enough to coat their bodies and actually be effective with so many of the sprays. So two ways to protect plants from beetles is with what's called a floating row cover. So that's a really, really fine mesh, like almost like cheesecloth that goes over the plants and is tucked in all around at the bottom at ground level so that the beetles, as they're flying through, can't land on the plants. The limiting factor with this, of course, is that you need pollination to take place and that you need insects to go in and out of the cucumber flowers to do the pollination. So timing is everything. So you have to be tracking where the beetles are in their life cycle and prevent the problem and get out there with your row covers for that period of time when the beetles are in the neighborhood. No insect hangs around for very long as a pest because their life cycle moves so quickly. They're often just a problem for, 10 days, 2 weeks kind of thing. The other thing is traps. There are often traps that you can use that are pheromone-based traps that attract the beetles into the trap and then they can't get out. A good supplier for traps of beetles is a company called Natural Insect Control, and they're based in St. Catharines. They do mail order, and they have a great website. So I'd recommend maybe checking them out, NIC, for what they might have on the go for preventing it. They definitely have Japanese beetle traps. Keep in mind, though, sometimes when we put these traps up, we attract more beetles than we would have had.
Draw more in.
Exactly. So what you do is you go to the neighbor that you really don't like and you put it on their property. I didn't say that, did I? If optimally you've got like a schoolyard nearby, like really nearby, and the kids aren't there in the summer anyway, you put it in the schoolyard. So you want to put these traps your property, but close by so that you can empty them on occasion. Because if they're effective, they fill up really fast.
Back to the row covers. So you're saying if I can get the plants out, start to get them established, get the covers on, the beetles are attracted, I think, by the smell. Once they find them, if they can't get to them, they're going to move on. If I got a good 2-week period that I can keep them off, I got a shot of keeping them out.
Yeah, exactly. It's just staying on top of where we, like, every spring and summer is different, and insect life cycles and where they are in terms of their eggs hatching and larvae.
How would you track that down, though? I mean,
well, yeah, you have to be really nerdy. You have to be right on. Well, you have. Yeah. See, they have extension services in the states that we don't have, like county extension. So you or your local hort society might be able to help. Here we would go to OMAFRA, which stands around the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs. And they have constantly, they have blogs coming out. And there's a whole vegetable blog.
Let you know
veggie blog.
When things are happening.
That's right. And so they'll keep you on top. And you can send an email. And you can say, look, you know, where are we on the cucumber beetle?
You must have organizations like that in the States, Jim, right?
Mm-hmm.
The extension Charlie was talking about, Penn State has a huge one in every county.
Right.
So I've never used them for gardening, so I might have to get in touch with them.
Yeah, check them. I'm sure they have something at a point where you can access them, whether it's by phone or email, or they may even have, like we have here, these sort of weekly blogs that just give anybody who subscribes to these blogs just gives you an update on what's going on.
Hey, that's good.
But you're right.
It also hits me, put a trap crop out somewhere. Once I see them, have my main ones that I'm covered.
And there might be something else in the arsenal that I'm not even thinking about that you might have access to. Because remember, we have a whole bunch of laws around pesticides that you don't have.
Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Do you have squash bugs?
Squash bugs,
not squash vine borers, but squash bugs. They lay right on the underside of the leaf, just these little creepy crawly things, and they just explode come late summer.
Oh, not that I know of. I have to check that one. Let me check that. Yeah, you're going to have to move to Ontario, I think.
I mean, yeah, that's amazing.
I think we have an invisible wall, maybe.
Yeah.
Insects aren't coming through. We keep them up.
Yeah, please don't, Frank.
Thanks a lot,
okay,
Jim,
guys,
for calling.
Well, thanks for the info, Charlie.
Thanks for calling.
Take care, Jim. From Philadelphia. Okay. Do you know what?
Now I got to Google all this stuff.
Well,
he's got me going now.
That was a rather lengthy phone call, which is great. Because it's very interesting stuff. But we have to go to a break here. So let me just repeat those phone numbers, 416-360-0740, and then anywhere in the province, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. For those of you who would like to write a little email to Charlie, we welcome that too, or at least she would. All righty. It's c.dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. And we'll be back to say hi to Gabrielle here in Toronto in just a couple of moments.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, Charlie. Now, you had just reached for a little information there just before we went to a break.
Yeah, I know.
I know something was going on. What was happening there?
Little cogs were turning in my brain there. So, Jim just brought up some interesting insects. I've obviously heard of them, but I haven't experienced them. Mm. So I was doing some quick looking around here. Mexican bean beetles do not exist that I can see in Ontario. Flea beetles do exist in Ontario, but they are a huge pest of canola, mustard, and rapeseed. So, you know what? I'd be interested if there's anybody listening who's had experience with flea beetles eating any of their crops in their home gardens to give us a call and tell me more about that, because that I do find that interesting. If you did have flea beetle issues, though, apparently dusting your plants with plain talcum powder repels flea beetles.
Really?
On tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, and other plants, use white sticky traps to capture flea beetles as they jump. So there are sticky traps for them. Insecticides may be used early in the season, but are generally unnecessary in the control of flea beetles on adult plants.
Well,
they're a problem, I guess, earlier in the season more than any other time.
So. There's the challenge then for somebody who has crops that might be affected by flea beetles. Give us a call. Let us know. Meantime, Gabrielle in Toronto is on the line. Good morning, Gabrielle. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning. It's been ages since I called in. I miss your show. I'm sorry. I've been busy trying to do things at my house. Now, I bought two Colorado spruce trees once upon a time. One I couldn't water because it was around the bend behind my garage. It's one of those small properties, 25 feet by 132 deep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'd like to do is trim back the one that is growing really well. I know it's the best time to trim them back in February. I remember that from other shows.
No.
So,
No. So, okay, what you're starting to say here is something that is classic, where we fall in love with that beautiful little bright blue soft little puppy of a plant that's
yeah.
a baby
well,
blue spruce.
Well, it wasn't that small, but, you know, I bought them directly from that lovely nursery up Humber Nursery.
Oh, yes, lovely. And
oh,
of course,
they have beautiful stuff.
They
there.
Sure do. The the small Colorado spruce grows. So, and it's, they're kind of famous for being planted typically in the wrong spot. And when they grow, they now make our front doors inaccessible or our driveways.
It's in the backyard.
Or,
but the problem is, one time I saw this place and I thought I could do that, you know, where they really trim them back and they look like those tall poplars, you know, where they're just nice and slim. Hmm. But I really wanted to do something like that, but I was busy trying to renovate my house so I can get rental income.
Yeah, okay. So there are some varieties of blue spruce which grow naturally very, very narrow, but just your regular, everyday...
Oh, you mean you can buy them where they grow narrow? I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you can buy blue spruces that stay small.
I'm taking notes, by the way. I'm not just,
You could always listen to our podcast.
I've always been taking notes. I took a couple of courses at Ryerson. But I'm not good at Latin names, you know, landscape design and all that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
So no worries. So I was just going to say, when it comes to the Colorado spruce, which are such a popular plant, there are several different cultivars on the market that grow different forms. Some stay shorter, some stay fatter and shorter.
No, I have two dwarfs in the front yard.
Yeah,
That's no problem.
Some are globes, exactly.
Yeah, so I know that. I know the varieties.
Bottom line is, if you're doing any pruning on an evergreen, the time to do it is when you're seeing new growth. Typically in Ontario, that's June, might be early June, might be mid-June, but when you're seeing all that bright turquoise, new soft growth, that's when you can go out and do some tip pruning, and that new growth...
I thought it was like in February.
No, not with evergreens. Yeah.
Really?
No. The only thing you really prune is deciduous plants that are dormant, particularly fruit trees. We definitely prune those in late winter.
You know, the squirrels ate my plum trees.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I had to dig them out.
Yeah, they love edible things, don't they?
It's horrible because I was, my uncle started them in Montreal. He would take the seed from plums.
Oh, wow.
And my parents brought, I don't know how they survived 401 because my dad drives like a really speed Gonzales, you know. And I was so happy to have them because I designed like an oriental patio thing with no grass. Even the front yard has no grass. And my neighbor was shocked. She said, your yard is so private.
Oh, good. Well, good. So, excellent. Good questions and nice. Sounds like you've got a lovely space there. And like I said, pruning when they're actively growing, you can't do anything too radical, though. So, remember, it's tip pruning only.
Okay, Gabrielle.
Good luck with that, Gabrielle.
Yeah. Hope you've been helped with those suggestions from Charlie. And it'd be a good thing to maybe go into a garden center and ask for those particular
if you want
plants.
Nice
and slim.
Yeah, like this
ones
is one
available.
Blue spruce called the Fat Albert. Yeah. So guess what? It's not slim.
Yeah, right.
The exact opposite.
Okay, and our phone numbers are in Toronto, 416-360-0740, and anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. You know what I forgot to mention?
Mm.
Our little mantra, call early, call often, one question per call, and if you have a first-time caller, let Sebastian know, and you'll hear that before you get to the airways. But look who took advantage of that little offer.
Smart.
Call anytime, the second time around. Jim in Philadelphia on the line again. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning again.
Morning again.
Charlie, I thought if you had time, garden tomatoes, growing them in the garden, no special protection. Mm. Want to get the production as good as I can this year. Do you prune them? Do you do suckering?
I do.
Do you trellis them? Or do you let them grow in cages? I'll just shut up. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I train them. But it depends what variety. Remember, there's two. Tomatoes grow in two different ways.
Indeterminate. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So if it's an indeterminate, meaning it's a vine tomato and it'll grow very tall, I do both. I stake and cage them, and I do remove suckers. So I do train them, keep them. And then once we get in here in Ontario, we get to about the third week of August or second week of August, I will take the top off, or even the end of August, because by that time they're 8 feet tall anyway, and they're starting to curl over, and take that top off, and then allow, if it wants to start suckering at that point, to happen, and get what's on the plant mature and edible, and forget starting new little baby tomatoes. So we're not encouraging flowers at the end of the summer. We're just encouraging ripening of the fruit that's on the plants at that point. But yes, they're heavy feeders, so fertilize them consistently. Lots of good organic matter in your soil, lots of great sunshine, and most importantly, great air circulation. So don't plant them too close together.
Not too close, yeah. Is there any, you know, of any varieties that you can, that will ripen over the winter? You pull them and they're green, they're more grown for this, but sit and through the late fall and winter, they'll slowly ripen and be ready just to keep getting a fresh tomato. Anything like that out there, you know?
Well, I mean, any tomato, if you do, you know, if frost is coming and you have to go out there and harvest a bunch of green tomatoes, you can obviously eat green tomatoes. I mean, I have a great recipe I've put out before. Green tomato, what is it? Green tomato jam. It's made with strawberry jello, believe it or not. So there's green tomatoes can also obviously be fried up and eaten with eggs, or wrap them. I just wrap them individually in newspaper. A single sheet of newspaper, and they will start to ripen up in the newspaper. Then you get them, as soon as there's a bit of red, get them out of the newspaper and get them on a window ledge, and they'll slowly ripen up on the window ledge. But to keep going all winter would be tough. You'd never be able to keep them. They'll rot before we get to this time of winter.
Right, right. So for trellising, do you clean off, remove the lower leaves as you go, or do you just leave as many of those that are not yellowing or dying yet? You let those just keep growing?
That's a good question, actually. I do end up by July removing some leaves because the plant gets so leafy, foliage heavy, that we end up with the fruit is buried in under the foliage and is very slow to ripen. So we need to get those little green tomatoes exposed to the sun. So I very selectively remove some foliage. But you want to do that like selectively, number one, and if you do too much too fast, you'll sunburn your tomatoes. So it's one of those.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you needed to keep the leaves so that they wouldn't get a sun scald.
No, that's right. So that's what I mean. You've got to, if you're going to remove, a large leaf that's covering a little bunch of tomatoes, you do it on preferably on a cloudy day. You want the whole thing to sort of happen gently to the tomatoes.
Okay.
And if you've got yellow leaves, definitely remove those and remove them right off the property, out to the garbage, because they'll have all kinds of blights that happen, right?
Yeah. Brian, that was all one tomato, about one question.
I know, that was very smooth.
You worked
all right,
that
thanks a lot. Thanks, Charlie. Have a good day.
Yeah, you betcha. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. What do we got here? 9:35, almost. Hey, we've got a call here, wait a minute now, from Betty in Cayuga. And, is that right? First time caller? Is that right, Betty?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Good morning.
There we are.
How are you?
Welcome.
I haven't seen you since you were at the Caledonia Home and Garden Show years and years ago.
That was a long time ago. That's when I was still at White Rose.
Ancient history, eh?
Yeah.
I wanted to know why my tulip tree has been in the north side of my house for about 10 years and not blossoming.
So you're calling it a tulip tree. Is it a magnolia?
No, tulip.
It really is a tulip tree?
Yeah, tall, but no blossoms.
Liriodendron?
Pardon?
Is it, I just want to be sure that we're talking about the right same plant here. Liriodendron is the proper name of a tree that's commonly referred to as tulip tree.
Right.
The leaves look like a maple leaf with the middle lobe. Somebody took a bite out of it.
Yeah, really pretty.
Yeah, okay, so that's it. Not flowering.
No.
So you're zone 5, yes?
Really weird place, clay soil.
Yeah, because this is not a super hardy plant. It may be that the flowers, the flower buds get frosted off in the spring.
Right.
The flowers they do look like tulips, but they're very pale. Often people don't even notice them. Is it possible that it could be blooming and you're just not noticing the blooms?
Right.
That is a suggestion as well. Make sure it's getting good air circulation, good sunshine. Lovely plant, though. And
he's beautiful.
Yeah. So you check it every day, looking for flowers in the spring?
Yeah. wish it would come, but no, not yet.
All right. Well, give it a chance. Sometimes it's a maturity thing. So how long ago did you plant it?
Oh, about 10 years. Yeah, I got it from, I can't see. You get on the air and you don't know what to say. That's odd for me.
That's all right. All right. Well, you know what? Do you ever fertilize it?
No.
Might want to consider doing that in the spring.
Okay.
Some fertilizer. Now, I'm not a big fan of the, you know, those stakes that you pound into the ground.
Right.
But certainly top dressing with some nice organic matter might be a nice idea.
Right.
Might want to consider that. I mean, those are all sort of ways. Top dressing. Do you mulch or is there lawn growing right up to the tree?
No. Okay. I have clay.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Whether so that's, you like it or not, we've got it.
Yeah, so there's what you need to do. You need to get some organic matter, so whether
right.
it's composted manure or homemade compost, but you need to get, you know,
for
some
sure.
100% organic material top-dressed around. Now, not touching the trunk of the tree,
no.
but around the tree, out at least a meter or more from the trunk,
okay.
And ensure too deep.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Take
I
care.
Love that tree. You
Thanks.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us from Cayuga, Star
yeah.
Rangers, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sirree, Bob. I think we might have Gabrielle back with us here. What time is it now? 9:30. Let's take a quick little break and then come back to have another, I think, second time round for Gabrielle in Toronto. Hold the line.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's get back to the phone lines and look who's there. Gabrielle from Toronto again. Hi, Gabrielle.
Yes, hi. It's the second call
yep.
because I have a very important question to ask. I've seen these greenhouse kits at garden shows. And I'm really tempted to buy one. And what I was thinking is also having like two levels where I can do the, the gardening where you can get plants growing like lettuce and different things like that in water.
Oh, okay. So but just to be clear, greenhouse kits that are full sized attached to your house kind of greenhouse kits? Or,
no, it would be in the backyard because I always see where the sun is.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bit of... you know, this house was built like,
mm-hmm.
the original house was built 85 years ago.
Sure.
So they did a mutual drive in the garage.
Right.
But I got somebody to help me to keep the raccoons away from the
Good.
Neighbor's garage. But there's a big area behind that garage. And, you know, I would love to get one of these greenhouses back there. But what I'm also afraid of is because they are with these pointy things on top. Would that be a problem for lightning strikes?
No. You know what? The greenhouse kits, great idea. I mean, if you are somebody who wants to be able to start little seeds and
mm-hmm.
get your starter plants going early, be ready to get out into the vegetable garden or the flower garden right as soon as we're frost-free, a greenhouse can be an excellent place to get those things going. Plus, you can extend your season, right? Harvest later in mm-hmm. the summer, start harvesting earlier in the spring. Do not be concerned about lightning and that sort of thing, because these kits are, if it's a good kit, properly designed, they are well-grounded and will not be a problem in terms of, you know, exploding in your backyard due to lightning strikes. So, yeah, I mean, not inexpensive and certainly need to be built by a professional.
Okay, so check
yeah.
at your nearest garden center with the folks there and they'll help you out.
Wonderful
for
idea.
Sure. All righty, let's go to, a first-time caller here from just around the corner, maybe, Margaret. Hey, there we go. First-time
Hello
caller, Margaret.
Welcome.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. So I'm like the other lady. I'm calling about a blue spruce.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I bought one at the corner store because I got tired of looking at those urns that were already, you know, made up for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
So I saw this little spruce tree,
uh-huh.
and I took it home, put it in my urn, and decorated it for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So my intent is to bring it up north. I have a cottage in Bob Cajun.
Right.
So I want to plant it there, and I'm wondering if it'll do all right that far north.
Likely. Now, you didn't bring it in the house, did you?
No, I left it outside.
Good.
That was my second question.
Yeah, keep it outside, and your only issue is that when we have very cold weather like we have right now, plants that are above ground in pots, the roots are very exposed to all that cold, and they can sometimes die above ground.
Oh, okay.
Now, blue spruce is a pretty tough plant. Most of them are a zone 2, hardy to zone 2 plant. And, of course, Bob Cajun is like zone 4. So no issues. And if it gets through the winter and it's in good shape in the spring, definitely, as soon as the ground is thawed up at the cottage, get it in the ground. But keep in mind, this plant wants to be 40 feet tall and 20 feet wide in 20 years.
So, that's okay.
So make sure you're planting it in a situation where it can achieve its full form. And of course, you know, it prefers a well-drained soil. You know, just don't put it in a soggy spot.
And, no, we're on limestone there.
And, yeah.
I don't know how deep I can get it, though. That's the problem.
Oh, you don't need to plant very deep. It's probably not a very large pot that the plant's in now. So when we're planting trees, the wisdom now is to really just go dig your hole the depth of the pot.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, an inch deeper type thing at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And wider. You want to go wide and depth of root ball. Because we now know that when you really look at where the roots growing when it comes to trees, all the roots on trees, no matter how big the tree is, all the roots are in the top 18 inches of the soil, because that's where they get water, that's where they get gas, like,
you know,
air.
That's quite true. Because you see them falling over. And,
yeah.
And I'm surprised at how they're not very deep.
Exactly. So you see those 40-year-old spruce knocked over in a wind, and there they are with 2-foot deep roots.
Okay.
So, yeah, but just do water that plant that's in your urn on occasion. Just particularly if it's in any sun, try and protect it from sun and wind, and do water it on occasion.
It's just on my porch.
Okay.
So there's nothing I can do to protect the roots now for the winter weather next week. Really rough weather.
Do you have a bale of straw kicking around?
Not so.
Because that can be very effective because of the air that's in straw.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we'll use like an old wool blanket, felt. Felt can be effective.
Okay, I can do that.
Just something that will... You're not going to necessarily want to wrap the plant. You just want to try and protect it from the extreme cold that's coming.
All right.
That's the root ball you're really trying to protect. And make sure you get some warm room temperature water on it.
All right. I'll send you a picture once I get it planted.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for calling in. Appreciate that.
Bye now.
Have a wonderful
Don't
weekend.
Don't be a stranger.
Don't be a stranger. Exactly right. Well, let's see. What's our time? Oh, we good. We got time for another call here before our next little break. From Chatham, here's Jean. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
I have had 2 anthurium plants given to me. One is older than the other, so one doesn't have any flowers on it, but the second one still does.
Mm-hmm.
The leaves are turning black at the points, or brown, and I try to only water once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of little leaves coming up from the bottom, and will I ever get this plant to flower again?
All right. So tell me, have you got it in any in a window or light? What's the light levels like?
The one is in the front window that has this morning sun, and it's on a coffee table or a corner table.
Okay.
And the other one is on the dining room table where the patio doors are, so it kind of gets a darker light during the day.
All right, so what I would do is I would get them both into the lighter location so that, because this is a plant that doesn't need direct sunlight, but it does want a bright spot. You should, I don't know about watering every 2 weeks, it's more got to do with what the soil feels like. Never want to let an anthurium dry out the way we would let a cactus dry out or a jade plant dry out. You always want to have a certain amount of moisture available to the plant. When you are watering, make sure you're using water that has sat out for at least 24 hours.
Always.
Do you do that now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because that you want to avoid the fluoride and the various things that are in our water, which should off gas if the water is sitting out for at least 24 hours, plus it goes to room temperature, which the plant prefers. Our days are getting longer, noticeably, so I would suggest that you get, do you have any kind of an all-purpose fertilizer at home?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would consider starting to fertilize, and we can all start fertilizing our plants, you know, in the next week or two, February, fine time to get out the fertilizer, mix that up in the water. You could go start at half strength, whatever the recommendation is to mix, do half that amount so that the next time you water, you'll water with half strength fertilized water. And I think you'll find that will help as well when it comes to that leaf expansion and flowers popping up. But a little brighter light will help with flower formation as well.
And would you put it out in the summer? Outside in the
If summer? I did, I would put it into a quite, I'd put it in under, in a quite shady location. And it would love the humidity outside, but it do not put it in the sun. It'll just burn up. So it would go in a pretty shady spot. And if you needed to transplant, that would be a good time to transplant as well when you would have it out in the spring and summer.
And how often would I fertilize?
Oh, once a month.
Okay.
Okay.
I will try that.
All right. Let us know. Okay.
Sounds good, Jean. And we always
Thank
welcome
you for
your
calling.
Call yeah. Lines are open at 416-360-0740 here in Toronto and anywhere in the province. In fact, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Going to give you a little bit of a breather. My gosh, you've been going like a madwoman over there. So let's take a little break here in the Garden Show.
I am a madwoman.
You are a madwoman indeed.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And the sous chef, Frank Proctor, here along with Charlie on this good-looking Saturday morning. A little chilly, but nonetheless nice and bright.
Nice day to be inside and just admire the blue sky.
You got it. Now, you've got an email to deal with.
Ooh and ah over some of the seed catalogs the spring events that are coming up. I did get an email from Kim, and she says, I would like to ask you a question about amaryllis and orchids. See, this is the thing about email. People sneak in the extra question.
Yeah.
So she says, my amaryllis has dried up after flowering. What should I do? All right. So anybody who's got amaryllis, that's the bulb that we grow. Mm-hmm. Typically it flowers around Christmas time. Remember, once the flowers are finished, the petals will dry up. That's get out your little scissors and trim off those petals. The green flower stalk should be left in place. Mm-hmm. The green leaves will grow. They should be left in place. You water this plant, this pot, with the bulb in it as required. Don't overwater. You'll rot the bulb. But you do need to grow it on for right through till August. Mm-hmm. As that flower stem shrivels up, remove it, but let those leaves grow. So this is a large house plant because they're big leaves, but let it do its thing. Mm-hmm. And if you do, care for it as a house plant, fertilize it as you would any of your house plants, put it outside for the summer if you wish, right through till August. Then you will have a nice fat juicy bulb to flower again next Christmas. So if you haven't watered it since the flowers and the whole thing has just dried up and died, then compost. The other question that Kim snuck in was, the leaves on her orchids are getting yellow. What should I do? Well, I feel like saving this question for next week.
Yeah.
We have Terry Kennedy here next week, our orchid expert. I think what Terry would say is, how often are you watering it? If you're overwatering it, they're going to turn yellow. If you're underwatering it, it's going to turn yellow. So it could be a water issue. But again, it is quite appropriate. Orchids can bloom mm-hmm. year-round and bloom for months at a time. So get to the store, get yourself a good quality orchid fertilizer, or go to the Orchid Show and Sale February 9th and 10th at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, where there are over 30,000 exotic orchids on display and for sale. There's guided tours, growing supplies, so excellent high-quality orchid fertilizer will be for sale at the Orchid Show. There's art and photography. Actually, I bought some art there for my daughter one time. Remember you and I and Sydney went together?
Yeah,
but
that's
then
right.
You had to take off early and Sydney and I kept hanging around. She fell in love with this beautiful, it's really quite a beautiful orchid, obviously. It was a framed print, and I bought it for her because I'm that kind of a mother. Seminars, lots of great seminars by orchid experts also happening at the Orchid Show. So that's my suggestion, Kim. If you can get, if you are in Toronto, you don't tell me where you live, but get to the Orchid Show to get yourself some good fertilizer or go to your local garden center and get fertilizing.
Well, as most people realize, I am not the gardener that Charlie is.
I would think they would have realized that by now.
Furthest from the truth. But no, but I'm just, all I'm saying is, even as a person such as I, to go to the garden or the orchid show, yeah. it blows you away.
Yeah.
There are thousands and thousands of orchids. They're absolutely beautiful.
I know. It's a real feast for the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I just want to mention, too, that, you know, how much I love you, but I also hate you. Because, again, you're going on another holiday.
Oh, I know. I know. Well, Shirley and I are going to head down, catch a little sunshine in Florida.
Good.
First part of February, and returning, I'll be coming back on the 22nd.
Yes, you're gone for two Saturdays,
yes.
So while you're away, I will have some guests joining me, because I get kind of lonely in here by myself. You know, Sebastian is just only so much fun, right? So I've got a couple of extra people coming in. So just, again, a heads up on this, and mark it on your calendars. Saturday, February the 9th, Paul DeGroot will be here. Paul is famous for his love of trees. He works at a tree nursery.
He is so excitable, too. Hamlet. He gets you excited about the
it's
stuff.
True.
Because it's contagious.
Well,
you know?
That exactly. He will be here keeping us all company while Frank languishes in Florida. And Paul knows everything about trees. So keep your tree questions. And he's got very strong opinions. So, you know, he's happy to share those with you. The following Saturday, February 16th, Sean James will join us. Mm-hmm. And Sean has been here in the past. He's been a passionate, you know, lover of all living creatures from when he was a baby, I think. He just knows so much about everything. Like, I was sitting with breakfast with him one time when you weren't here, and we're, you know, at High Park, and he's looking out the window, and he goes, oh, look, and he starts naming all the birds with their Latin names, right? And I couldn't see these birds, and he was like, oh, there's a such and such. I go, what's a such? He goes, a snowy owl. I'm like, I can't even see that white owl on the snow, but he could, you know? So, I mean, he's amazing. So he'll be here. He's a designer, he's a teacher, and he has been on the show. The following week, when you're back, February 23rd, this is a pretty exciting month, actually. So February 23rd, Stephen Biggs and his daughter Emma will be here. Now, Emma has just published a book. She's 12 years old. She has I just received it yesterday in the mail. I was looking at it. It's a ton of fun. It's a gardening book by a kid for kids.
Oh, wow. Is that a terrific idea?
You're going to love this book, actually. It's just full of great pictures and graphics.
Oh, marvelous.
And kids having a blast in the garden. Well, now, Stephen and his family live in North York, and Emma is his oldest of three children, and she's been, you know, his co-gardener since she could walk, I think. So she's just written this book. So Stephen and Emma will be here to come in and tell us about
the book. Just a word, in case they're tuned in this morning, please bring some books. I'll buy some from you.
Okay.
Well, I've got granddaughters.
And, there you go.
Yeah, a grandson, too.
That's right.
So,
well, one per family would be great, because it's just a great, great book.
Well, yeah.
Oh, and I should have probably brought it just to show you. If I think of it, I'll bring it next week and show you what the book looks like.
That's
it's
cool.
Very, very nice.
Gee,
all
we're
right.
We'll look at the time.
Oh,
yikes.
Running out of time. Yeah. And so we're off for breakfast, and it's
my turn to buy.
Toast I'm pretty hungry.
Water.
I'm pretty hungry.
Burnt toast and water
I think
for you.
Steak and eggs might be in order. Maybe some French toast, or maybe the big breakfast.
Rascal, you. Thanks, Charlie.
What do you do? What do you got going on this afternoon?
1 o'clock. Tons of fun. Sort of an afternoon delight for everybody.
Nice. You've got a guest.
Music.
You've got a guest coming
in,
too.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
John McDermott. I'll be talking to John at about 1:45.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's got a number of terrific concerts coming up. And I thought, I'll let everybody know where he's, you know, what he's up to.
Good stuff.
He's such a good guy.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And then you're back tomorrow, doing the big band.
Well, the big band Sunday night.
Sunday night.
7 o'clock to 11 o'clock.
Boy. No wonder you can't sleep. You're just.
That's right.
It's Frank. He's everywhere. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Charlie.
And Sebastian. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.